Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by Harry's. Harry's are so confident that you're going to love their blades, razor blades for shaving. They'll give you their trial shave set for free when you sign up at harrys.com/filthycasuals. Just pay for shipping.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me as always...
Ben Vanell. Hello, filthy animals. It's my new catchphrase. I've done it 2 weeks in a row. Let's see if the listeners like this one or if Adam hates it.
It's fine. I reckon it'd lean into the Home Alone...
Yeah.
Filthy animals. Thing.
Yeah, okay.
Because saying filthy animals without reference to that sounds strange to me. But, you know what I mean? Just filthy animals plainly and coldly.
So
vanilla.
If I go, hello, you filthy animals.
That's better.
Okay. And tell do I use that voice for the whole show?
Keep the change.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Tell the listeners that they can keep the change.
Okay. I'll say that at the end.
Yeah. And you can keep this change and shove it up your ass because not into this catchphrase.
Isn't that a great piece of work that Home Alone did to kind of like brand themselves? Like you said, when you hear that the phrase filthy animals existed already... But I think anyone of our generation, they hear it and they go straight to that little boy just mucking around in his house.
Yeah, one cheese pizza and some filthy animals.
Mm.
Yeah,
that movie, not a real movie. Fun fact.
Oh, that Home Alone's real.
No, this is like the Berenstain Bears thing.
Australia's not real now and Home Alone isn't either.
Yeah, I thought you were going in on a classic Adam Knox fact that we were going to have to sit here and dispute for the whole hour. No, Home Alone isn't real.
The movie in Home Alone and Home Alone 2, they filmed for the movie, but I think everybody knows
What's
that.
The one in Home Alone 2?
Same movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Or like it's the same actor and like maybe a sequel or whatever.
That's kind of cool.
But it's like another scene from it.
Yeah. You know what I would like to see someone do? You know how there's like people that do those like shot for shot remakes of like Indiana Jones and stuff?
Mm.
Someone should make the entire rest of that film that scene is from.
Oh, that's not bad.
They're just like obligated to have that happen in the middle of it.
You're pretty much having to make an entire film.
You
could add the line, keep the change, you filthy animals, into virtually any film that exists.
Mm-hmm. Casablanca. Mm-hmm.
I've never seen it, so I don't know, but I assume play it again, you filthy animals.
Keep
the change.
Sam. It's a hell of a rewrite.
Make that exchange a little bit more tense.
Yes.
Because what happens in that scene? It's just like a guy turns up and just shoots up a place.
It's a mob boss and they're looking for money, something like that. It seems like it's a mob thing.
Yeah. Like the guys betrayed him and I think they're there to hit him or something.
Like, what are you looking for? Payback or something? Mm. He's like, yeah, we'll keep the change.
Yeah.
Because I paid you back.
Yes.
You filthy animal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, I reckon we should just call it a day.
Yeah. Yeah. We did have an email from someone asking us to talk about movies more and I think we've nailed it. So tick and move on.
Yeah. It was someone who... It was a bizarre email because it was very complimentary, but it was someone who listened to our Rampage episode because they'd liked that film and they liked what we had to say about it, but they do not like video games.
Mm.
So they made the request that we just turn this into a movies podcast just for them.
Yes.
Request granted. Aladdin, not a very good movie.
Aladdin?
Oh, you are so wrong.
Get the fuck out of here.
Whole back half of Aladdin fucking drags. There's not a good song in it.
No.
And the first half, there are three good songs in Aladdin and everyone thinks it's
a good
movie.
I've never seen Casablanca, so I'm a movie critic now.
Because fucking every movie critic needs to see Casablanca.
And like Aladdin.
No, Aladdin's bullshit. Aladdin is it is the worst Disney movie. When was the last time you watched it?
About 3 or 4 months ago, it was on Stan on Netflix.
All right, well, I watched it on Netflix as well, and it was about 2 years ago, but still.
What Disney movie do you think is better than Aladdin?
The Lion King.
See, I like Aladdin more.
I like him about the same. So, yeah.
Aladdin's dog shit.
Aladdin's great. It's Aladdin fantastic. Was my it's first funny. Favorite movie.
Oh,
it was my
Aladdin
first movie.
Funny.
First really? Movie I went to in the cinema. Yeah.
First well, movie I owned on VHS.
You can't take off your nostalgia goggles.
It came out on VHS on my birthday.
Wow.
And I watched it through and then immediately rewound it, but while it was still playing. So I just watched it. Then I watched it in reverse.
Rip, and then I roll, rip, rip. Wait, why is the tune the same backwards?
Yeah. And they were always very careful with VHS players to make sure that the sound wasn't coming out as it was yes. fast-forwarding or rewinding. Yes. At least right. ours did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The way you described it made it sound like you watched it in regular speed in reverse.
No, I just rewound it. Look. I pushed the rewind button.
He didn't have his thumb in the little circle slowly backing it up.
Some VHSs, I think, could play back at normal speed.
That'd be cool. I've never seen it.
Play reverse at normal
speed. What's another very popular movie that you don't like? Let's start a new segment, Noxy's Unpopular Opinion Corner.
Yes.
I think I like most well-liked movies. Because most of them are pretty good. For a lot of people to like them, they tend to have to be a pretty good movie.
So Aladdin is the one where you're the only right person in the world.
No, there's
and everyone else has got it wrong.
There are a lot of us who don't like Aladdin. And we
name one other person.
I can't because of the code. Because one day when we rise up, people will know. A Whole New World, not that good of a song.
I think it's fine.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And I that's like... the linchpin of that movie.
No, it's not.
No, Friend Like Me. And Prince Ali also.
You are under the spell of Robin Williams' charisma.
Yeah.
And look, fair enough.
Thank you.
A good
Let's
movie
move on.
Hey, not make it.
Hey, man, he had demons. How about you back the fuck off?
Yeah.
Dude, one of his demons was being in that shit film, Aladdin. God.
What do you think's better, Aladdin or Mrs. Doubtfire?
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Wow. Definitely. Very, very unwoke answer. Yes.
Mrs. Doubtfire is yes. a fun romp that makes it clear how funny it is to wear a dress if you're
wow.
a man.
Aladdin, the one Disney film with people of color in it.
Exactly.
And Adam doesn't like it.
Oh.
Says it all.
No, it isn't. Mulan, motherfucker.
Okay. Do
Pocahontas.
You like that?
I've never seen Mulan.
Do you like
out of principle?
She shouldn't dress up like a man.
Boy, you're as nasty as that horrible Jafar character. Just wicked. Just absolutely wicked.
Yep.
It's got a monkey in it. What more yeah. do you fucking want from a movie?
Yeah. Plenty of movies have monkey in them that are bad.
What's better, Aladdin or Dunstan Checks In?
It's been a long time since I've seen Dunstan Checks In. I told you this fact on... the other podcast we do.
Yes. Which will remain nameless for some reason.
The Game of Thrones. Because I hadn't finished my sentence yet is why it remained nameless.
Ben, what kind of dumb shit do you have to put up with him saying on that?
It's just this, but
this is true. I told you this off of the microphone, that there's the film Baby's Day Out.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yes.
In this India is called James Bond.
Why?
There's a remake of it called James Bond. In India.
What? How did this come up on your Game of Thrones podcast?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
Because you told both of us out the front of Ben's house the last time we recorded this.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I brought it up again on the Game of Thrones podcast.
I just told you because we'd just done that podcast and I was thinking about it.
Yes.
Because if you'd misheard me, the remake of Baby's Day Out is called James Bond in India. And it's because the phrase James Bond in India is like how we'd say Einstein here. I mean, clever. James Bond just means like crafty.
I think we referred to someone as being James Bond like.
Yeah, maybe. Who cares? But anyway.
Maybe there was a baby that in an episode of Game of Thrones that you guys were talking about that had some kind of adventure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never watched it.
That's most of the show.
A baby having an adventure.
Yeah. Babies getting into situations.
Climbing over girders, you know, that kind of shenanigans.
Went and saw the film Baby Geniuses in the cinema alone.
You did?
I was about 11, something like that. I think I was like being ushered out of the house to like, hey, mom and dad are going to be alone for a bit. Go watch Baby Geniuses.
Wow.
And ironically, I never figured out why.
So we got a lot to talk about on this episode.
Yeah, why do we fuck around for so long?
Because we're having fun.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
We've got a... now, we are going to, at the end of this episode, do a big old spoiler chat for God of War.
Mm.
We reviewed it a couple of weeks ago, but now we're going to go into details. You guys have finished it. I'm two-thirds of the way through or so. So, yeah, that's going to be happening right at the end, so...
We'll clearly signpost it as well. There's no risk of spoilers.
I think when we've done sealed sections, we actually end the episode, like, say goodbye. Mm. And then go into the sealed section.
Yeah.
Yeah. One time we actually forgot to do the sealed section. We all just left and then we had to drive back here an hour later. And
it was still recording. So
We got two into the bit.
Yeah.
We really committed.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got a bit of news to talk about as well. Yesterday, Nintendo, in a very weird fashion that they sometimes tend to reveal things, they announced that what happened first? Someone just translated something off a press release that they put up in Japanese.
Well, the Japanese website went up. Yeah,
their website just changed first.
Yeah. And then, they put out a press release about what their plans for their online service are.
Mm.
It's launching in September. It's going to be, I think, $20 a year?
I think so, yeah. I think it's about 30 Australian. I think I saw that as well.
Yeah, you can get a family plan or you can get it in 3 or 6 month increments.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be the way that you play, all of their games online. Cloud saves, which people have been kind of hankering for.
Yeah.
And
not people on this podcast. I've never thought of it to be a requirement.
On a portable thing, I guess it's just in the case that it gets stolen or broken or something like that, I suppose.
Right.
I've seen people talk about it a lot before this. Like, it's something that's been pretty important to people. Yeah, if anything happens to it and you're fucked, basically.
Right.
In the current way it is. And also a selection of classic NES games, 20 of them at launch with kind of more to come.
Yeah. Do you know what? Another thing that I just thought of with the cloud saves for the Switch, especially if you're going between multiple SD cards, if they're getting full, then that's a good way of not having to...
Sure.
But then I guess you'd have the saves for whatever game was on that SD card on that SD card.
Which is itself a backup.
But that would be one application for it, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm about to have to get a new SD card for mine.
I don't have an SD card.
Absolute madman.
Yes, you do. There'd be one in there, definitely.
No, they don't come with one. They have inbuilt storage and then you can add one.
Do they?
Yeah.
It's got inbuilt,
It's got like 32 gig of inbuilt storage.
I think that's an SD card that comes with it or something.
No, it doesn't come with an SD card.
Crack that thing open. Let me see it.
We'll just look it up. But no, I don't believe they come with an SD card.
Right.
Yeah. No, they have a bit of, because that was something that it got grilled about when it was first announced. The amount of internal storage.
Yeah.
People were kind of up in arms over.
Yeah.
Because you do, and then there was the thing when NBA 2K18 came out, which is too big to fit on the system.
Yes.
Like it has a thing on the box saying, guess what, cunt.
Go buy
pick this up. Then walk that little fanny over into the SD section of this shop.
Yeah.
Because you're going to need to be picking up one of them bad boys.
In 32 gig of internal storage.
Right.
And a micro SD slot.
Adam, do you want to apologize to Ben?
Never.
For being wrong about that and Aladdin?
Aladdin I'm right about. And so I assume that I continue
Listeners,
to be right about this.
If this is the time to write in, if you've never written in before, if you've never commented or tweeted at us, do it now. Do you like Aladdin? Or do you dislike Aladdin?
And you're required to have watched it within the last 4 years or
yes,
so.
Yes, that's pretty reasonable. I thought you were going to go much.
Have proof. Take a photo of yourself in front of a TV with Aladdin on, holding up a copy of today's newspaper.
Yeah. Yes.
You have to hold up a copy of a paper from exactly 3 months ago to prove that you give enough of a shit to hunt down that paper to do it.
It's weird that because that dream about a bee flying through your window and turning into a man, that's the kind of zany shit that the genie does, dude.
Yeah.
Nah, man.
There's a scene all about that in Aladdin.
No, all he does is go like, oh, I'm Jane Fonda now.
That's classic Robin Williams, though. He says a little more baklava. That's good.
He does say a little more. How about a little more baklava? I like baklava.
Mm.
I think we're
getting
him. See,
there we go. We're starting to wear
him. We'll win him over.
All of the games that you can currently play online on the Switch.
Yes.
Will require this as of its launch.
Yeah. So they actually...
It's all first party stuff. Like, I think, isn't it going to be open to third party stuff might not use it?
Oh, I don't know. I assumed it was like, PSN or Xbox Live. Yeah. Like, any online play has to
right,
be done through
right.
that.
Yeah, I guess
Sushi Striker made by Nintendo?
I think so. They're putting it out.
Because they've got that listed here.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. So this, they put a press release out where they say all this stuff, and it felt like people kind of go, oh, okay, cool, cloud saves. Yeah, 20 NES games. And by the way, they've only announced like 10 of them, and then they've said, oh, and there'll be other ones. We just aren't announcing that yet.
Yes.
So people are like, okay, this seems, okay, this is all right. This is kind of cool. Relatively well priced, whatever. Yeah, cool. Then all of a sudden, about 4 hours later, for some weird reason, Kotaku got an email from a Nintendo rep saying, Virtual Console will never be showing up on the Switch.
Yes.
And everyone goes, what?
Yeah. But they worded it pretty specifically to say that old games won't be showing up under the Virtual Console banner.
Yes.
It just sounds like they're ditching that name.
Yes, that's actually right. what it means. Yeah. But it is, to me, like, whatever you think of whether this is like a good service or not, the announcement of this is just kind of baffling. Like, just kind of a weird way of doing it when you know that you're going to be inviting questions about what's happening with Virtual Console. And this, to me, kind of says this is kind of what it's going to end up being rolled into this kind of subscription thing. Mm-hmm. But if you're not going to fully reveal what those plans are and then say the phrase, the Virtual Console is dead, like, of course people are going to be going, well, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
I think I saw some, I don't know how verifiable this is, but I saw something saying that they'll be done under the banner of like Nintendo Classics.
Yeah, I did see that speculation. Yeah. I don't know if it was legit or not.
This is a rumor thread.
There will definitely be something like that because Nintendo loves hawking their old shit.
Yes.
And they will make sure that they can do it on the Switch at some point.
So is part of the issue that Virtual Console, people were hoping it would be something that would continue across from, say, Wii U. So if you'd already bought it, you wouldn't have to buy it again?
I think so, but that didn't happen between the Wii and the Wii U.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Yeah.
I think you could get them again for a little cheaper if you had them already. It was something that, I think.
Right.
There was some kind of like rewards program initially, but I don't think it was a constant thing.
Yeah.
Because all the accounts that Nintendo have always had have been so weird and separate.
Yeah, they've always been a completely separate thing. Yeah. I kind of just wish they had sort of just done this as like almost a direct and kind of just revealed everything about it. Just tell us everything that it's going to have rather than withholding. Like, it's so bizarre to go, it'll have 20 NES games. We're only going to tell you what 10 of them are now.
That is really strange.
And also, like,
that's a strange decision.
Why? It's a finite library that you're picking from.
Yeah.
You must know what they are.
If you're the person paying $20, you know, or $30 Australian to get this, then you are going to get that first 20, you know, those first 20 games. So just say what they are.
Why?
But it also doesn't say anything about whether they're going to stick around forever, whether they're going to rotate.
Yes.
The other thing is that you can do online with ones where that applies.
So, I do think that's pretty cool. Like, the having, like, leaderboards and all that kind of stuff and being able to play online with your friends, these old NES games.
Mm.
That, I think, I think that's really cool. And especially if they start putting SNES or N64 games or whatever on it as well. Like, if that becomes, like, an ongoing thing of this, of this service and the way that they're approaching retro games, I think that has the potential to be really fun and really interesting.
Mm.
So, I don't know. I mean, it seems like people kind of hate this announcement, even though there's nothing in it that, I mean, this is kind of all stuff they've already said.
Yeah.
The only new stuff that was revealed here was the number of games that it's launching with and the price point. I think everything else people kind of already new?
I think it's just difficult to make any announcement where you're saying, by the way, that thing you can do right now, $20 a year, please. There's no way to make that something that people aren't going to respond to by going like, well, fuck off.
And then I think backing it up with, even if it's just the, like you said, Tommy, kind of like saying the words Virtual Console and not going to be a thing anymore, it just makes a mildly underwhelming or just a mild announcement into a negative somehow.
Yeah.
Just through perception.
And again, like, they must have known that that would come up. So why not counter that by coming out and going, okay, we're going to eventually, what would have been Virtual Console, all of these games are going to eventually show up on this subscription service.
Yeah.
Because NES games, I don't really care about. SNES and N64, great. But, and especially when a lot of them are like the ones that they have announced, soccer, tennis.
Yeah.
Like, just real who cares
yeah.
kind of shit.
Yeah.
Here's a theory for you.
Okay.
Aladdin good.
Theory disproven.
Walt Disney innocent.
Nintendo in the last few years made a lot of money with the NES Classic and the SNES Classic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which was a different format of putting out their old games.
Mm-hmm.
Other companies who did have games on the virtual console, like the SNK or whoever the Neo Geo is,
yep.
and
yeah.
Sega and stuff like that, have made a lot of money by putting out their old games as like individual packages mm-hmm. for sale on the regular shop.
Yeah.
Maybe no one's into the same format anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe
right.
Nintendo are like, we're going to release the SNES and NES Classic 2 and mm-hmm. the N64 Classic.
Yeah.
And everyone else is thinking, we're doing this Mega Man collection.
Yep.
Fuck right. you all.
Right.
We've got other ways of doing this. So maybe no one cares. And also, yeah. like, emulation is easy.
Yeah.
And just presenting those games blankly with no additions. Like, I think they've recognized that with their NES stuff where they've added the multiplayer and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to go a little bit extra, a little bit further to make somebody pay for stuff like that.
Yeah, but what's the cost to them just going, here they all are available to buy at pretty low cost on our eShop? That doesn't, surely that's not like...
But maybe the cost is that future potential product you could put out is no longer as valuable.
Right.
So having yeah. that library available easily reduces the value of a slightly improved version that you could sell for more
right.
down the track in a different format.
With that artificially reduced... supply
yeah.
and making people, you know, grab them off the shelves at Christmas time.
And if you've got those 30 games available for a total of $50 on the Switch, or there's an $80 SNES Classic 2 with the same 30 games,
yeah.
which do you go for?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that I don't know how much I buy that, because that's a, yeah, that is a big conspiracy thing where people go, they're just doing this to drive people to the NES Classic and the SNES Classic. But the other thing is, they made those in very limited numbers and they all sold out. So,
and they were all like people, old Wii parts.
Yeah.
So people who want them can't get them anyway. So it's
totally.
Not as a strategy. It's like, I don't know how much I buy that because it's they're not... I mean, if that is the reason, they're just not capitalizing on it. Like,
no, right. not yet. But maybe like it takes a long time to ramp up hardware stuff and maybe their vision for it has grown in scope since
yeah.
they initially sort of designed those things.
Yeah,
it's, something's got to be got. But like, I feel like this is often the case with Nintendo. You think like there must be some reason.
Yeah, because yeah. surely it's like putting every single game that they've ever released, you know, up until the GameCube on an eShop available to buy. Once you do that, then it's just free money constantly for whoever's buying them.
You'd imagine
right?
so, but they must have the numbers on that from the last two
yeah.
consoles they put out that
yeah.
had that on it. And for whatever reason, it must be less lucrative than we're imagining.
Yeah, I guess so.
I never fucking bought one.
Yeah. I don't think I did on the Wii.
You got 30 yeah. of them sitting there on the SNES.
Yeah.
Classic thing. Like,
yeah.
it maybe just, it's not as attractive of a proposition.
Yeah.
Because technically we can, like, most people who would be listening to this would find it pretty easy to go out and emulate any of those games for free right
now. Oh, yeah,
now.
You can play them on your Mac.
And nobody, yeah. and but you don't, because nobody gives a shit about games that old. As much as you remember that, like, the only time I ever really do that is to push that button of like, yeah, I remember this for 20 minutes.
Yeah, right, totally.
And then leave it. So the actual proposition of paying even $5 for one,
yeah.
I would probably not bother doing, because I'd know...
Yeah.
That it doesn't actually present.
I think that if the Switch hadn't been selling, you probably would have seen them break the glass on it by now on
yeah.
some kind of classics package. Like if they felt like, okay, maybe people will buy this thing if it's like a handheld SNES, but I think it's like it's been selling well enough that they just I think they just haven't really even thought about it until now, and they're like, okay, well we kind of have these little classic things that are selling well, and we have this online thing that we want to do, but people also want to just buy them outright. And I think they're kind of caught at this weird sort of intersection where they're trying to work out, you know, a happy balance between those three things. Because in the past it was just like, hey, we've got a new console, so what we do is we put all our old games on it on this service.
Yeah.
But it's not as clean cut as that anymore. Like they've got – and, you know, there are still – yeah, if you wanted to be cynical about it, there are still Wiis and Wii U's out there in you know, out there in the world that
yeah.
they're probably trying to eke a bit more money out of those virtual console things before they you know, before they kill it and rebrand it or whatever they're doing. Like
on the Wii was like, it took them a little while to get it going on the Wii.
Yeah.
I remember. And then the Wii U was the exact same thing, but pay for them again.
Yeah.
Basically. Mm. I think it was almost like the same library of games even.
Yeah, they've but again, they filtered them out. They timed them and filtered them out again. Like, they didn't launch with all
of them. Exactly. And so they've had some stuff on the 3DS that was like old Game Boy Advance games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's only really been sort of the last console almost, because the Wii to the Wii U was such a short time span that they've been doing this for. And prior to that, their business model was always like, here's a slightly better version of Super Mario 3 on the Game Boy Advance. It's got slightly nicer graphics.
Yep.
It is full price.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
know, like their MO is more often than not to rarely release them and overcharge when they do.
Yeah.
So the sort of virtual console stuff was kind of an aberration for them, and they might be going back to, I don't know,
always,
or doing something new. It's, well, it's, obviously, this is a new thing.
Yeah.
Games there.
Yeah, totally.
And I think the important thing as well is that all three of us are kind of tepid on the proposition of even playing them at all for free.
Yeah.
So how much
could
they be making off of
if
these?
If they go every month, there's new ones, and we're going to be filtering in SNES and N64 and even GameCube or Game Boy Advance,
yes,
then I am fucking in.
For my
for 20 bucks a year, 30 bucks a year, I am fucking in.
For the subscription thing, but would you buy them if they were sitting there individually?
You know, I probably from time to time I would get exactly what you're saying. I'd go, oh yeah, cool, I'll pay $10 to play that again and then play it for half an hour. Like, I guarantee I would get tricked time and time again.
Mm.
But I don't care. Like, I'm not frothing. Like, I'm not chomping. Like, you know, when people have gotten, you know, worked up over why isn't Virtual Console on there yet, it hasn't really bothered me too much. Like, I don't, yeah, for all the reasons you were saying before, Adam, I don't particularly care too much about it being on there or not. But
I think we in the Wii U, there was a slight difference as well, in that I felt even more so than the Switch, there was a bit of a drought of games there. So being able to go like, oh, Super Metroid is on this now. Cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Excuse to hold that dumb Wii remote sideways and play it.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, yeah, but the main thing I want to know about the online thing, the subscription thing, is what's the turnover rate going to be? You know, how frequently is new stuff going to be added? Like, what's the library ultimately going to look like? Because if it lives up to its potential, then fucking I'm all in. Because the thing of, if you're just paying your $30 a month to just be able to like pick up and fuck around with something.
$30 a year,
yeah. It's not as much of a, you know, it's not as much of a bummer if you pay $10 outright for something and you go, cool, now I own this thing and I have it sitting on the system when I'm never going to pick it up and play it again.
Right.
The thing I think is possibly more likely, and that I'm worried about at least, is paying $30 for that year and playing tennis online once.
You
know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty dumb. It, like, just that list of stuff that's on there. But
should we say what they are? If someone hasn't, the 10 that they've announced of the 20 are soccer, tennis, Donkey Kong, Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers, Balloon Fight, Ice Climber, Dr. Mario, The Legend of Zelda, and Super Mario Brothers 3. I really like Mario 3.
Yeah.
And Dr. Mario is a fun, you know, like little Tetris game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Puzzle game on the Switch. Great.
Yeah.
The first Zelda is bullshit.
Yeah. That's not fun.
Everything else on that list, like, who the fuck wants to play NES tennis when there's a billion, there's a
Mario Tennis
Australian Open tennis game that's just come out.
I don't need to play the first level of Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
But then, like, if Dr. Mario was all of a sudden on the Switch eShop for $5, I'd buy it. Because I do want to fill out my Switch library. Like, I do want more actually good games. Old, you know, they may be, but I would buy, if there was the entire back catalogue of NES and SNES games, I'd probably buy more than $30 worth in a year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And look, yeah, one good thing about this, and I was ready for this to not be the case, so this was a nice surprise.
Yeah.
That they'll all be playable offline. Because before I saw that they'd specified that, I thought, here we fucking go. They're going to fuck this by turning around in a month and going, oh, yeah, by the way, you need to be online to play these NES games.
Yeah.
So there goes any kind of the fun of any kind of portability of it. That's the other thing to remember, too. Like, it's not just the function of playing Mario Brothers on the Switch on your TV, it's the thing of like being able to like have it on the go as a portable thing for when you're on the plane or whatever.
Yeah.
Which probably to some people does add more value. And, you know, I guess if you're a parent and you've got kids that are newer to gaming, like that's kind of one way of looking at it, that it is introducing this stuff to a newer generation. But yeah, I just want to know more about what the volume of the library is going to be.
If they fill that out a bit more, then this is cool.
Yeah.
Because the Game Pass thing on Xbox is cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
This could be that for old Nintendo games, then sick.
I think my issue is that there's nothing else about this subscription service that interests me.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'm probably not going to play online.
Yeah.
And I don't care about cloud saves. So the incentive was going to be maybe some old games or some kind of extra little bonus thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think that I'm interested in that either at this point.
The big theory is that this will launch alongside Smash releasing, because that's going to be their next big online one. And it'll be their biggest online one, I reckon, by a wide margin. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think just that alone will be enough to make people go, all right, got to do this.
Yeah.
I
think that actually the other thing that I forgot was that, like, the voice chat or the, you know, instant messaging stuff is apparently potentially third-party services. Like Discord was mentioned somewhere. Well,
because at this point it was through the iPhone app.
Yeah.
Right. Which I think itself, wasn't maybe its own proprietary system. Maybe I got that wrong, but I feel like I also saw that as well.
Yeah, that's a rumor that it's Discord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would be extremely surprised if that were the case. If Nintendo were to take it so third, like, I would be very surprised for that to happen.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, Microsoft doesn't do that because they've got Skype and shit, but, like, I feel every other thing uses their own internal.
Yeah.
Even Sony and Microsoft do. I can't believe that Nintendo would be the one to go like, and by the way, you can use this fucking thing where people share porn to chat.
Right. Yeah. And already exists and you can already have on your phone as its own app.
Exactly.
Just to talk, like, to use for gaming
this
chat.
This thing that connects to sex lines.
That is a good point. It's an unfiltered, unmoderated, you know.
Yeah. It'll be the dumb smartphone thing probably.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Dumbass app. Well, say what you will about them, they are a group of complete fuckheads.
Yep. Hey, man, at least they release some brand new games, though, from time to time.
Oh, here we go.
Fresh off the conveyor belt. Oh, it's still a bit hot. Don't touch it. Brand new games, such as this week's release, Donkey Kong Country 1.
So Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze came out last week. It's, a port from the Wii U.
Mm.
We are one step closer to every single one of those games from the Wii U being out on the Switch.
Treasure Tracker's coming out in a couple of, or a month or so, I think.
That's pretty soon.
Yeah.
And then that's the last of them that they've announced, but surely there'll be...
Still no Mario Maker Wii U.
There'll be some kind of sequel to that, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
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 Rather than just a port. But you know what? It'll probably just be a fucking port.
So, yeah, I played through a pretty decent chunk of this game when it came out on the Wii U. Mm. So this new version is all the same game except that you can play as Funky Kong and he kind of makes the game a little bit easier. He can hover in the air, he can land on spikes and not get hurt.
Right.
This game 4 years old.
Fucking hell. Yeah. I did not know it was that old.
14th of February 2014.
Jeez.
And he also has more hearts. So he makes it a little easier.
Right.
But by no means a cakewalk, because a lot of the stuff that he can do, you know, there's still a lot of pretty intense platforming sections where, you know, it doesn't matter how many hearts you have, you're still going to fall through the gap.
Right.
And die.
Are you playing in Funky Kong mode?
I am playing in Funky Kong mode.
You little bitch.
I know. Yeah, I didn't. He does.
Funky Kong's a fucking narc, man. He looks, he looks like the most, like, went to a high school to try and find out who's dealing weed there.
Totally.
I'm enjoying playing as him. There's him.
You fucking would.
Him having his
dibba dobba.
He's cool, man. You can trust him. You can go and try and sell drugs to him. He's
What's
cool.
up, kids? I make this whole game easier. Let me just get you over the streets and everything's easier. All right, kids.
Something very funny about the fact that he has his surfboard on him and, like, every time he jumps, he whips out his surfboard
right.
and does a little trick on it.
You kids like to surf?
There isn't a beach for 20 miles.
Yeah, that's not that far. You should have said further if you wanted to trick me, a cop. I mean,
Yeah, I just the other night got up to the bit that I like where I kind of tapped out of the Wii U version.
Right.
So I'm kind of like I switched back to playing as Donkey Kong because I just kind of wanted to get through the right. stuff that I'd already done before. Because yeah, this game is
what does Funky Kong change exactly?
So he hovers over stuff.
I said this mere minutes ago.
He's did you really?
Extra yeah. hearts.
Right. I wasn't paying attention.
Extra hearts. He can hover. Right, yeah, he can. Yeah,
I was looking up the date.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
He can double jump in the air.
14th of February 2014.
It's Valentine's Day.
Not a good one for me that year.
Yeah, I don't know if it was for me either.
It's a fucking long time ago, so who yeah. can remember? You yeah. wouldn't release a game from then and pretend it was new. Anyway.
He basically has a combination of, like in the normal game, you have Diddy Kong, Dixie Kong, and Cranky Kong.
Yes.
That each have their own abilities.
Right.
And which Funky all... kind of combines all of them.
Yeah, right. Two of them, Dixie and Diddy, have the same ability, right?
Diddy just can hover. Just hover. Dixie kind of gives you a little boost up in the air. Okay. Like, so yeah.
It's extremely similar.
It's extremely similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Almost like they probably should have gone back to the well and just had it. Just given one of them a slight more difference.
Yes. I remember Dixie spinning her hair to float in the SNES ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I guess it's that. And then Diddy has a little jetpack.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He loves his jetpack.
And Cranky bounces on his walking stick.
Yep.
Scrooge, oh, like...
Scrooge McDuck style.
Scrooge McDuck.
Yes.
Yep. So, yeah, you're playing through this for the first time, Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you think?
I think it's fucking great.
Yeah.
It really reminds me of Rayman Legends.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just because it's a really good 2D platformer, but... Like even some of it feels like there's some music-y stuff that comes in.
Yeah,
and
stylistically too. Yeah. It's got a lot of the yeah. It's got a lot of similarities to that. Most I'd say it's closer to that than a Mario game.
Yes,
most of the levels have like a unique gimmick of some kind that isn't super gimmicky.
Yeah,
but it's
yeah.
like a mechanic in each level that you've got to kind of think yep. of, or at least that is the case in the game. I at first accidentally started playing Donkey Kong Country Returns.
Oh, really?
Which is the first one of these.
Yeah. And that was on the Wii, right?
Yeah,
it was.
So this was the first reboot, and then this is like a sequel to that,
so yeah, essentially. The first one also had a version on the 3DS.
Right.
Which right. is what I... Anyway, I made a Rare error. One of my...
Well, it's not made by Rare anymore.
So before we started recording, I said, did you end up getting a chance to play this? And you said, I'll talk about it. And me and Ben were sitting here going, what? Why is he keeping this? All I asked was, did you play it? I didn't ask whether you liked it.
In conversation, we do like, if we start talking about games off mic, it's like, save it. Yeah. But this was different.
This was like, I couldn't get a read on what was going
yeah.
on.
Well, that's my experience as an undercover cop coming through there.
So how much of Donkey Kong Returns did you play before you realised you were playing the wrong game?
Very little, because it started and I was like, oh shit, Tropical Freeze. Because there was no ice, and I was like, because whenever I read the word freeze, it makes me feel cold. And that made me not want to play this game very much. I don't do well with like ice levels and shit in games.
Oh, wow. My God.
They make me feel cold.
Wow.
I will say when this game first got announced back in 1993, I did have that because ice levels, no good in a game. They suck. Right. I don't find the ice kind of theme very
floating
visually.
Floating around on ice is yeah. annoying.
I don't mind it. It's hard. It's harder than a normal level, but I don't mind it.
Visually, like, I don't find it very those kinds of levels very interesting in games. Right. So I was kind of a bit bummed that was the theme of this, but luckily, all the levels are like islands and
they're all fucking jungle.
Yeah, they're all jungles.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So yeah, there's a great video on level design in this game. And how it, yeah, most of the levels kind of have two mechanics going on at once, and how they'll kind of like introduce one of them to you and then introduce the other one and sort of subtly ramp them up until they're combining them. I'll post it on our Facebook page because it is a really interesting kind of look at how these are designed. But yeah, there's you know, there's always
crazy that a video that old is still on YouTube as well.
Yeah, usually archive that shit.
Yeah, it predates YouTube. It's on a Google Drive that I have saved.
It was
saved.
A .rm file.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a real player playlist.
But yeah, there's so much creativity in the levels. There's yeah, just kind of a level of it in what you're saying with Rayman Legends, like a level of kind of just kind of attention to detail and inventiveness that you don't really tend to see in the new Super Mario Brothers 2D platformers. Yeah, all the worlds are very varied and yeah, just
so
it's
do they all take place on the same island?
No,
again? No, you move islands. No,
because
yeah,
Donkey Kong Country Returns. It's all on the one island.
I think I had that. I think I played that on the Wii. It was one
it's
of the
really
few games.
Good. I've been really enjoying
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I liked it.
Been
yeah.
a happy accident because this is Retro who's made both of these, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And they are currently working on something which no one has any idea what
it
is.
Yeah, because we thought it might have been Metroid Prime 4, but it's not.
It's not. Yeah.
Someone else is doing that.
I will say that they kind of, with this series, they've kind of skewed it a bit more kind of cartoony and a bit more kind of wacky, which the original Donkey Kong Country series always had like a bit of a kind of a weird sort of like sinister kind of feel, like a bit of an unsettling kind of vibe to them in the music and the worlds, which I personally
definitely the music.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and those visuals of that time just have an unsettling effect as well, I think.
Yeah.
That quasi 3D stuff that's not quite right has some uncanny valley stuff that happens to you.
Yep. Yeah, but a lot of the levels were like, you know, these I think in Donkey Kong Country 2 there's like this like swampy, you know, and then there's the beehive levels with all the brambles and stuff.
Sure, just like the thunderstorms and raining and stuff. Yeah.
And for me personally, that aesthetic I kind of like a little bit more than what these guys have done with this, but but then they've ended up kind of giving these their own sort of personality.
Well, I don't feel like there's that strong of an aesthetic. Like there's, I think maybe a personality is a fair way to describe it, but it is all a little bit shiny and cartoony and childlike. It's closer to the new Super Mario Brothers aesthetic, if anything, but what is
it's
it saving
clean
grace?
Looking and
it is, clean and shiny, but the design and the creativity there is what makes it fantastic. And I think it is a really fantastic
The levels are very well designed and the music is really great in Donkey Kong Country Returns. And so I assume that it's the same case.
It's quite good in Tropical Freeze. Yeah, I like the music. Yeah.
The minecart levels, which were a staple of the Donkey Kong Country series, they've kind of
including
like
returns.
They've expanded on that. And
I really like those.
Yeah, they do a bit of like kind of three-quarter perspective where the camera will kind of tilt around and then you have to hop between tracks. Oh, and
that doesn't happen in Returns.
And for you to be lambasting this game for being old when you've been playing one that's even older.
Twice its age, apparently.
But yeah, it just thinking about it, I really am busting to see what Retro have been working on.
Yeah.
And I hope we see it at E3 because I was thinking about it today how I think they've done They've done really great work on these games. Like, I think they're two of the best 2D platformers out there, but they are still ultimately kind of carrying on this lineage that someone else started.
Right.
And it's not just that, you know, it's not just that they're working with an existing IP. Like, there's all these, you know, like the overworld music is the same from, you know, the original Donkey Kong Country games and having to throw minecart levels in there. And I hope that whatever they've been working on is just them being given an IP but just doing whatever they want with it, like of like establishing like a fresh, like they did with Metroid Prime.
Exactly. Yeah. That was sort, I mean, they were still, it was the same as sort of 2D to 3D Zelda where they kind of changed it completely with the same ideas as the 2D Metroid games, and I love those games, the Metroid Prime ones, and it's so cool to see that they can do these two very different styles of thing to pretty much the same level of quality.
Yeah, sure.
So whatever they're working on now, I hope it's a third different thing, same as you.
Yeah, like they've done a great
as
job
in
with
brand
this.
New or like a F-Zero, like taking a
whatever name it has.
Right.
Slightly don't give a shit about because I want to see them have a new idea.
Yes, sure.
Yeah, I want to see them do something fresh with an existing IP because they've done a great job here, but there are certain kind of things of this being a rebooted franchise that they've had to sort of like adhere to, And even though they've done it very well, like, yeah, I think I think they're just such a talented studio that yeah, I'm really keen to see what they've been cooking up.
So Ice Climbers RPG.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be
I like
right.
the Ice Climbers.
Sure. I don't know what the fuck that world looks like.
I want to see tennis. So did you actually play Tropical Freeze Knox or not?
No,
okay.
You own it though. You told me you own it.
I know I do, but I thought it, anyway, whatever. I own the Wii U one and I was like, oh, the 3DS is here. I don't want to like set up the Wii U.
Oh, yeah.
So
okay.
that was the initial reason, but then I realized my mistake.
Sure.
But now I'm going to go through Returns because I do kind of like playing the first one before the second one anyway.
Yeah.
So this is ended up being a nice accident.
Yeah, right.
So I kind of wish that they had like, you know, with Bayonetta porting that over. How you could then also get it came packaged in with number one.
Yep.
I kind of wish they had done that with this.
It's not. Yeah, it's not like it's unplayable. Like it's just another 2D platformer.
Yeah.
So where are you up to?
I'm now up to World 5, the Juicy Jungle,
which
looks incredible.
Yeah, it's great.
Such a visually stunning
world. World 4 for me.
Okay,
so
cool.
I guess World -7.
The boss battles in this are
fucked.
They're fucked, but they're fucked in the way that they used to be when you were a kid, and they are just as satisfying to beat.
Yes.
Like I have not had so much fun or satisfaction in beating a boss or any enemy in a game for fucking ages.
Yeah, right.
It's so good. It's really classic pattern recognition, but also precision skill. Like I mentioned to you, Tommy, the fish boss, there are bits where you have to fucking weave between spikes in water, which is always, you know, annoying in a platformer.
Yeah.
But man, doing it when you've got that one heart left and you get it and it's just right and you get out of there with the skin of your teeth.
It's such a good.
Play that remastered Dark Souls when it comes out.
Yeah.
But it's such a tense game, like so many when I was playing it through the first time, just real points of me going, is this fun anymore? Like, really, like nearly snapping the controller in half, just
absolutely
being so furious about what I was playing.
Moments in boss fights where I was like, I'm bored having to do all this stuff again.
Yes.
Because I'm so good at it now.
Yes.
And this new mechanic or this new twist, I just missed it that other time and now I know. And yeah, it's all so boring to get back to that point.
Yeah.
But yeah, like that satisfaction is
nothing worse than in a boss, like you feel like you're near the end and then you die and you're like your first thought is, oh, I've got to do it all again.
Yeah.
The worst.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's I can't recommend it enough. If you've got a Switch and you like platformers, it's a no-brainer.
Yes.
It's heaps of fun, it looks great, controls super well.
Yes.
If you feel like it, Donkey Kong Country Returns as well. Also a very good game.
Only I guess Wii,
original Wii and the 3DS.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
So, yeah.
Fucking idiot.
It's very rare that I make a mistake. And it finally happened.
It's so you. I love it.
The first time since the release of the original Tropical Freeze, it's been a long time.
Yeah, wow.
More than 4 years.
Wow. This happened when we did Super Metroid for our bonus Patreon, I guess it was. Was it the first one?
Yeah.
I bought it on the 3DS, but I couldn't play it because I had an old 3DS.
Oh, and it needed the new 3DS.
Yeah. And so I was like, well, fuck, I just paid $20 for Super Metroid.
That's crazy that it let you buy it.
I know. Isn't it fucking annoying? So, look, we've all made mistakes.
Except for me, I'm in the clear at this point.
Yeah, shit. Yeah, okay. Fuck.
Owned a Wii U for a long time. Maybe that's...
Yeah.
That counts.
No, not so much having it for a long time. Buying it day one. Yeah. That was the mistake. Going into JB Hi-Fi. Felt, you know, something in my gut didn't feel good going in there, but I went, well, you know, I've put my deposit down.
Ugh.
And sure, it's refundable, but that's just a bit of a hassle, isn't it? In I go.
Fuck.
Oh, well, at least all these games are only ever going to be available on the Wii U, so I'll be able to be comfortable with my purchase knowing that I could never have bought them on another system that'll come out down the line.
Yes.
You're a fucking idiot. Well, I guess we'd better wrap it up for this section of the show.
Indeed.
After the
break, well, we've got a sponsor, actually.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right, boys. We have a sponsor.
Yay.
Hooray. Now, you guys are men. We all get it, right?
Absolutely. Oh, we get it. We get it daily. We get it nightly.
It being, of course, facial hair.
Yes.
Yes. We get it daily, and I get it nightly.
The thing about facial hair is that it looks good on some people. Hello, boys. Doesn't look great on other people. And you know what it doesn't look good on anyone usually is not being trimmed and kept. Harry's razors.
Yeah. Do you guys see Ben Cousins today?
No, I did not.
He's on the lam or something. He was on parole. Like he was working for the Eagles and then he didn't show up. And then I think some cameras caught him. Giant, like weird, half grey beard. Looked terrible. Not finely groomed.
Right. Well, you need to be finely groomed, but you know what? It can be expensive to finely groom yourself, especially with razors. Well, Harry's can save you about $100 a year if you are a frequent shaver.
Wow. That's three and a bit Nintendo Online subscriptions.
Harry's products have won countless...
Slightly less than a SNES Classic.
They've also won countless grooming awards, the same as Nintendo.
It's a little bit more than Donkey Kong Country Returns was when it first came out on the Wii U.
Harry's will keep you looking and feeling great even if you're 4 years past your prime.
You know what's weird? It looks like Donkey Kong shaves because he's covered in hair.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
he's got a Homer face.
He's not fuzzy. He's hairy, but he's like
he's clean shaven
he's
around the mush. That's butthole.
So, what's your favorite thing about shaving with Harry's? Nice to ask here.
Well, it's that lathery gel stuff is the best I've ever used.
Yeah, that's so good.
It actually stops you from getting razor burn or stinging or anything. It's like a moisturizer as well. It's fucking sick.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like feeling that burn, so I'm going to do it dry.
Okay, well, here's news for you. Harry's razors, the actual razor, I also tried it without the gel, and it doesn't burn you at all either. It's just... Oh, fucking smooth.
Looks like I'm going back to using my fingernails.
Your fingernails.
Well, they're the cheapest one, but Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price, which is why over 3 million guys have switched to Harry's. That's a hell of a lot of guys.
Yeah.
Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys as well.
I thought you were about to just read out the names of all of them who switched over to Harry's. Jeff, Andy. Oh my God, we're going to be here all night.
Well, Jeff and Andy are the two most important ones, even though they're just ordinary. They were fed up with getting charged an arm and a leg for razor blades, and they started Harry's to fix shaving.
Wow.
Shaving was broken, and they fixed it by stripping out the unnecessary features.
We'd love to know how that conversation got started, where they worked out that they both had a mutual dislike for how much they were paying for razors.
Probably each of them covered in like tissue paper and empty wallets going like, there has to be a better way. Well, Jeff, there isn't. Oh. Let's make one.
Oh, yeah, right.
They got rid of like the vibrating handles and heated blades and 15 lubricating strips and all that bullshit that you don't really need.
Yeah.
And the unnecessary costs to deliver customers one perfect razor at an amazing price. Now, I read that wrong.
You certainly
did.
Because
I made it sound like that was an unnecessary cost. They got rid of the unnecessary costs in order to deliver customers one perfect razor at an amazing price. Did I read it wrong or was it written wrong?
We'll never know.
Aladdin, no good. A good shave comes down to
Aladdin.
Good blades.
Very, very clean shaving.
Good
Aladdin.
Blades and good technique is what a good shave is about.
Jafar, facial hair.
Yeah.
So. Exactly.
Like, he's sculpting that.
Yes. Villains.
The little sultan, he's got a big beard.
Yeah.
Because Harry's owns the factory, they're able to deliver amazing quality blades for just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you'll pay at the drugstore. They own the factory. Wow. They don't have to obey the law.
They control the means of production.
They want there.
Do you think the genie shaves? Or do you think he just magics that facial hair that he wants?
Yeah, depending on which bullshit 80s celebrity he's in.
You know what feels like magic? Harry's razors.
All the products are backed by a 100% quality guarantee, unlike Aladdin. And here's a special offer if you need even more. Harry's.
You don't think Disney is a 100% quality guarantee?
Absolutely not.
Still like,
you shouldn't like them either. They do not like you, I can tell you that much. Harry's is so confident that you're going to love their blades, they'll give you their trial shave set for free when you sign up at harrys.com/filthycasuals. Just pay for shipping. You can claim your free trial offer from Harry's today. $13 value for free when you sign up. Just cover the shipping at harrys.com/filthycasuals. Your free trial set includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, Ben's favorite, and a travel blade cover so that you can take that blade on a plane
Fuck
and
yes.
really show those motherfuckers what you're about. So to get your free trial, go to harrys.com/filthycasuals right now. That's harrys.com/filthycasuals.
And on behalf of all of us here at Filthy Casuals, it's going to be for you a whole new world of shaving.
Ah, Mamma Mia, the musical. I feel good.
What do you think's better, Mamma Mia or Aladdin? Now, this is a loaded question.
Yes.
I will answer this question cryptically.
Go ahead.
At least when I've watched Aladdin, people weren't fucking singing along in the cinema.
Okay.
Like the time I went and saw Mamma Mia. Yeah.
Well, that was such a cryptic answer, Adam. What did that mean?
It doesn't give you a definitive answer.
Right. Okay. You like ABBA, though, right?
I don't mind some ABBA. I'm real up and down on ABBA.
Was this another one of those movies that your parents forced you into seeing
so they could
get you
fuck
out of the house so they could fuck on your bed?
This was a movie I saw with my girlfriend at the time and her family.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
Not into it. They were all music teachers as well. One of the music teacher, like she was a music teacher as well, and the dad played in an orchestra.
Wow.
So they were like, ma-da-da. Like, if you got it a bit right, if someone, they were like, nope.
Oh, so they were into it, but in a strict way.
Yes, exactly.
I thought maybe they might have disliked it because it's a popular musical.
No. They disliked anyone being slightly off key. You know what the most fun way to have fun is? With set, defined rules and firm, sharp criticism of any deviance from those rules.
There's a sequel to that. Coming down the pipe.
Yeah.
And oh boy, I can already tell I'm going to be guilted into seeing it with my parents.
Is it going to be called Mamma Mia, Here I Go Again?
Yes, it is.
Fucking it is. Yeah, nice.
It actually is.
Awesome. That's
it looks god awful. I saw a trailer for it before Isle of Dogs.
Oh.
Isn't that misreading your target audience? These people seeing this Wes Anderson puppet dog movie.
I don't know.
They're going to be into this.
It's a little bit early 30s girl.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so you.
Yeah. Love that movie, by the way.
I love
really,
dogs.
Really, really good stuff.
Great. I love Wes Anderson.
I'll probably see. I'm going to wait until Mamma 3 comes out and buy the whole box set. Is this good related stuff to Big Mama's house? This film?
Big Mamma Mia's house?
Yeah, Big Mama, famously Italian.
Anyway, yes, we are now going to say an informal goodbye.
Sure.
Because the episode will keep going, but be aware that there are spoilers for the recently released God of War game and probably the previous ones too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if you want to listen to this next
returns
bit, we're going to go fully into completely spoiling God of War. So if that's not something you want to hear, this is the end of the episode. We'll leave a break and then...
Yeah. So if you haven't played it yet, fuck off and good riddance.
Yeah.
But if you have played it, welcome to the sealed section.
Now, we do a sealed section on our other podcast, Nox.
Yeah.
And I've started putting the start of Kiss from a Rose as the transition music.
Oh, that's good.
Because it reminds me of Seals.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. Seals probably would like that.
Can you do Crazy for this?
Sure.
Which Absolutely. Crazy?
The Seal song.
Oh, right. I think I don't know.
Not the Niles Barkley.
No.
Crazy?
No, not that one.
Not these days.
Maybe. Yeah.
No.
This is all stuff from God of War, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, well, speaking of not, like, all right, so where do we start with this? Tommy, we should explain your situation first.
Yes.
Early 30s. Single.
Not a lot of propositions.
I had an impulse to say something that I would have said if we were off air, but I was stifling. I was like, I don't reckon it's cool to say that.
Just because we've got into a spoiler section, it's not like up late.
So I'm not quite at the end. I've been playing through, but I think, once we get up to the bit that I'm at, I am going to leave.
Yeah.
Yep. Fair enough.
It's fair.
Anybody listening, feel free to do the same.
Yes, I'm really glad that I didn't get spoiled at all. I really liked the story. And
There's one particular bit that had a massive impact on me personally.
Is that going to come after Tommy's left?
No.
Oh, good. Okay cool.
Because I didn't have it spoiled.
Yeah, I was contemplating, just copping it and going through the whole thing with you guys. But yeah, I played a big chunk this afternoon and I went, no, I actually really am into this. Like, yes. It would be a shame. So yeah,
there's a couple more things coming up for you that you wouldn't want spoiled as well. For example,
so yeah, I'll tap out when we've exhausted all the stuff. I know I'll put the microphone down. I'll leave Ben's apartment and I'll go out to the front of his house and blow my brains out.
Great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, well, I guess that means we'll be going through the game in chronological order and just sort of talking about, if you're still listening to this brazenly or we're kind of drifting in and out.
I love the idea. Someone going, I bet it's not as bad as they're hyping it up to be.
I kind of drift out of what people are saying on podcasts from time to time.
Yeah,
so
right.
So just to reiterate, we're going to be talking about the story of God of War and like the kind of whole game going through piece by piece.
Yes.
And saying our thoughts.
Because we've already talked about the gameplay and that aspect, like the, you know, more superficial aesthetic, you know, aspects to the game. So this really is going to be about the story.
And it's a very like cinematic game and very deliberately story focused.
Yes. Mm.
So that's the point of this. So if you don't want it to be spoiled, go away. And if you do want it to be spoiled and you haven't played it, congratulations for being an adult.
Right. But also you're making the wrong decision.
Yeah.
It is better to play through it yourself if you have any interest in it.
Yeah.
If you're not in a situation where you ever will.
Sure, sure.
Then whatever.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
You can listen to this. I think you'll be quite bored.
Yeah. Yes.
So where to begin? I keep, like, while I've been playing it in the kind of couple of hour chunks, I've sort of been meaning to, you know, I've thought of stuff to talk about and I've been meaning to take notes and whatever else, but it's just, it's so much happens. Like, it's just kind of almost overwhelming the amount of stuff there is to focus on. So I kind of don't really know where to begin.
So I feel like the first few hours are pretty straightforward. You kind of meet these characters and their entirety of what they are doesn't really get revealed to you yet.
Yes.
So we can probably skip ahead a little bit.
Yep.
Over, like, you start, you've got your kid, you know your wife's dead, stranger shows up at your door, beats the shit out of you. You're like, okay, it's not safe here, and we're going to take your mother's ashes to the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it.
And so that intro sequence is great. Like, the stranger turning up, it really throws a lot at you, like, really quickly. Like, as a device where you kind of, like, you learn to fight and you learn about the Spartan Rage through all that kind of stuff. Like, that's so well done. And the way he's, like, taunting you and you know, saying, this doesn't even hurt me. Like, I thought all that was really, really well done. Like, it really, it set itself up to me pretty quickly of like, oh, this is going to be great.
Yep.
This is going to be a great game.
It sets up the tone of the story that it has very well. And also, I think, does a good job of somehow letting you know that all of these things that aren't being explained will be.
Yeah.
And that all this stuff that you're not really sure of where you stand with everything will get explanations later on. Like, it's not mysterious. It's not annoying that it's mysterious. It's intriguing.
It's
by the way, my friend didn't realize that you were in control of that bit with the stranger and just sat there going, wow, he's really beating the shit out of me.
Fuck. It manages to, like, find this really good line as well, because I think, and we mentioned it when we reviewed it, I think, like, for people who've played the previous games, there's a lot of stuff that is implied that it's kind of like referencing in that early bit, and it doesn't go all out and just put it on the table. It leaves it there to be, you know, absorbed contextually or not.
Definitely. And, at least straight very early on, it's a lot of like, I know your secret. He's like, my secret dies with me. Fuck off.
Yeah, but it also has the same attitude about things that are, we assume, yet to happen in this story. So I think anyone who's playing it gets the same feeling of like, there's a lot going on in the background here. It's not necessarily relevant right now. And that's cool because the experience is so enjoyable.
Yeah.
Well, even so, the stranger, he's introduced and even the point that I'm at, I've overheard him at one, I've turned up to a bit when you get the head.
Yes.
What's that guy's name?
Mimir.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's talking to him when you turn up.
You're climbing along the edge of the mountain there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then he leaves.
Overhearing.
And so it kind of seems like, oh, this guy's going to kind of, when you first meet him at the very start, it's like, oh, this guy's going to just kind of be turning up throughout the whole game. And then, the point that I'm at, I still haven't really seen him again.
Sure.
Like, I'm assuming that it builds to me having an encounter with him eventually, but, you know, I that just the way that that's set up and then just all this other stuff ends up happening.
Yes. Because it goes very, like, you hear a lot about Odin and Thor from that point, and you meet Thor's two dipshit sons who are idiots.
Yes.
And but, like, in the best way. You know, they're Nolan North and Troy Baker.
Troy Baker, yeah, right.
The two of them. Yeah, cool. I quite like.
That's awesome.
A fun little casting thing.
Yeah.
And that's really well. That fight between them is really well done. Where you go into the bits where you're surrounded by lightning and having to spin around and like
pop them off the shield.
Douchebags are like, "I'm gonna fuck your mum, boy."
Yeah.
I'm gonna fuck her. That's why she died, because I fucked her.
Yeah.
They're like just the most meat-headed dudes, and I really like that overall thing about this. Similar to the first God of War games. It's like very real person take on what these gods are like.
Yes.
This version where they're all just dicks.
Right. Yep.
And like real nasty dick. Like just if you gave some douchebag that level of power.
Yeah, yeah.
And it comes across as that.
Especially, I think that's like, one of the best things about it, that the language in it is very like modern day, how people talk now.
Sure.
Down to like there's bits of slang and there's that characters use. Like I really like that it's not like, you know, rooted in some kind of, you know.
When the world snake said who up, that was kind of weird to me.
Yeah.
But other than that. So, yeah, you go, you leave your place, you float onto this lake, that you see the world snake.
Yeah.
He's a giant.
He is. He's not just big, he is a giant.
He is a giant. There are giants, and you learn that the giants weren't necessarily all giant.
Yeah.
But they're just like another race of things, like the gods almost. You can't put too much logic onto anything the game is ever telling you ever as well.
Yeah,
you have to keep it very fantasy. You meet that witch in the woods.
Yep.
Who later on you discover more about who she is.
Yes.
You'd have been up to that point, Tommy.
Yes.
So her being Freya, I thought nothing of at the time because I didn't really understand who Freya was.
Mm. Sure.
But that does get explained more later.
It certainly does.
You know, you've been in the room, Tommy. We're having a tiptoe around some shit.
Yeah.
Cool.
Just really tell kind me, of spoiling it.
Just tell me when you want me to leave and I will tap out.
No, well, let's you go. You give us some more stuff because you drive it.
So the bit that I've just done is the boy gets he gets attacked and is unconscious, so you have to like heal him. To do that, you have to go into hell and
Helheim.
And in order to do that, you get these two blades. You go back to your house and you get these two blades.
Yeah, these two random blades.
Yeah.
So they're from the other games, right?
Yeah.
I gathered that.
This is because you never played any of the other ones. And you did?
Yeah.
So this like this little sequence here and all of the just tiny references that there have been to the earlier games were very fucking cool to
me. The sequence, where you get the Blades of Chaos.
Like after you walk onto that boat from there until you start swinging those fuckers around.
That bit is great. And see, that's my favorite thing about it so far is that the bulk of what I've been doing is go into an area, get this thing, and then you have to go back through. But the way that you... Like someone in our Facebook group was complaining about the backtracking, but I think it's done so well because
agreed.
You have something added, so you're kind of going back through. You're not going back through beat by beat. You're kind of shortcutting because you've unlocked something that makes it quicker, and kind of different stuff is happening on the way back through. So it's interesting.
It's not just, and this is also good. It's not just having a treasure chest that you can access now because you've got the fiery blades. It's other stuff as well, but I really liked going like, oh, fuck, I can see what's in that thing because I am trying to collect, as many blahs as possible. I am trying to get everything.
I remember one bit and I don't remember specifically what it was, but I remember having the thought one time like, oh, I'm having to go through this.
Right.
Yeah, there was one part where it was a little just like, okay, I need to physically just move through this space.
I think there's one bit I don't think I can talk about it yet where it's like you go back to literally the same location.
Right.
And you have to traverse that location in a different way, which was I had the thought of like, this might be tedious, but it turned out not to be.
Yeah. I think it was a very short period of time where I was like, ah, this is the same as it was the last time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But whatever, that boat sequence is the fucking coolest fucking thing.
Yeah.
Where you get on the boat to go back to get the blades. Yeah. It looks amazing. Like the sky is like orange and there's like a storm happening.
The music in this game they fucking nailed as well.
Yes.
Just that little dumb blah 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 little theme that Kratos had, whenever that like comes up, it does a very good job going like, oh fuck.
Yes.
Yeah. And even that, it moves automatically for you, so you're just sitting there, but it still uses the way that it uses the downtime where you're moving between things to have these bits of kind of exposition happening, and the you know, the head talking to you once you have him.
Yeah.
Like the way that's kind of all rolled out in these bits where you're not just, you know, moving through the water on a boat, like sort of not really doing anything for 5 minutes. Like it's making sure that it's kind of packing, you know, packing stuff into those moments.
It's all interesting as well. Like I remember seeing, I watched some interview with Corey Barlog, who was the like director of this game. And he was saying when they got the head, they were like, oh shit, we could just have him met all these characters because he's like this old clever guy.
Yeah.
So having someone who's actually like not going like, oh, well, the books say that this person did this. Having someone who's like, yeah, Thor's a cunt.
Yes.
That guy's a fucking dickhead.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so far for me, it's like every time you lock on to thinking like, okay, here's what the game is. I'm just going to be doing this for the rest of the time. Then, you know, then you have this head who's joining you on your journey now, and he's talking to you constantly, and they're like, I was so surprised to get the blades, you know, not because of, you know, having any attachment to the old games, but because I was like, fuck, I'm a fair chunk of the way through this and I'm unlocking, because it's not like you've constantly been unlocking new weapons the whole way through.
It's
just all of a sudden quite deep into the game, hey, cool, have this now.
Yes. And I remember having the thought like, oh, fuck, I haven't used left on the D-pad, I guess.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then going into an area and it, and they just control so differently where you can, like, grapple people into you and
there's like an area or effect attack almost.
And they control, or they feel at least, they probably are significantly different if you put the two side by side, but they feel like the first game.
Totally, absolutely.
Which is so fucking impressive with this change of perspective and all of that, that it feels just as smooth and good.
Well, that's, I think, what underlined how good that transitional sequence was, because it was good in a cinematic way and a nostalgic way, and then it also felt exactly the same as it used to, and but better probably.
Totally. It felt fucking great. Like it was cool anyway. And but then having that little earned bit of like, remember the old games?
Yes.
And like the little things of him like telling the boy earlier, like, don't ever go down in that little cool space.
Sure, yes. The wrappings on the wrists, which is the marks from the chain. Like,
well, because they used to be fucking burned into his arms, was like his curse or whatever.
Yep.
So how he got them off. But like, that bit was fucking rad.
So it might be the best bit. Like, the story, you know, is good and it concludes in a really satisfying way. But in terms of like pure energy and impact, that might be the high point of the game.
Being able to put the big fucking crescendo on it by having them control cool as well.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's really effective as like the best way that a cutscene should be is to build up to something awesome that you do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is exactly that.
The fight with the dragon just after you've come out of the mine is awesome.
Yeah.
Like just
the fucking scale of the shit that you do.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And just at a point where I was sort of thinking, you know, when we reviewed it, I was, you know, really comparing it pretty heavily to Uncharted in the sense of like the exploration and the linear sort of feel of it. And I was kind of at a point where I was just starting to go, I think the thing that it doesn't have that Uncharted has over it is like kind of these big set pieces, which then that happens and it's like it's attacking you as you're going up the elevator and then you're on the top of the mountain. You have to, you know, actually fight it in a more traditional boss kind of way. I was like, oh, okay, no, there's set pieces in this. And I like how, and I said this in the review, like it's so video gamey. Like it's so cinematic, but it does, like, you know, the boss fights that you do, they feel like, you know, very traditional, like pattern recognition like, you know, the dragon, you have to like get the whatever it is, the bomb kind of thing, then throw it at the right time. Yep. Like it feels like you're almost in a 2D platformer, like playing an old school video game boss. Like
having
it,
these two weapons that you eventually get as well, that you switch between and have very different functions.
It
works great.
It never gets lost in, you know, feeling like a cinematic experience where you're just pushing a button every now and then. Mm. And it does have a couple of annoying things that, you know, where you're trying to chop down a thing or whatever and it's like, press R1 now to swing the axe. It's like, why?
Right,
like, this adds nothing. Like, But yeah, it like all of it is just, yeah, the fact that it feels really, really, really gamey, like an almost like an old, just the way it's presenting itself is almost like a, yeah, 16-bit game almost.
Almost in two halves in a way where you could just kind of barrel through the story and then do all the side stuff, which is kind of what I did.
Yeah.
Right.
Like all those Valkyries and shit like that.
Mm.
Have you seen any of them?
No, I've done one side quest.
Right, okay.
Right, I have now, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So there's heaps of side shit that is very separate to the main game, which I think is a good decision.
Yeah,
agreed.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
That it doesn't bog down anything. And I ended up getting over the idea of like, oh, I've got to get everything on my way through.
Right.
I can go back there whenever.
Yes, yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
I know you've underlined, I think it's true, how gamey it feels. But I also think that like for that, you know, period of the game before you get the second weapon, the sort of naturalistic and subtle like way that the axe is treated, it's just so like it becomes second nature of in terms of how you use it and the play. Like I feel like it's really well integrated to an extent that a melee weapon hasn't been for me in a game before.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
And then the second weapon comes along and I liked it just as much.
Yeah.
Both weapons are my two favorite weapons
and
from any game for a long time.
Yeah, right. It becomes more gamey, but it doesn't devalue either one of them in a way.
They both have kind of different functions and different speeds and different moves that you end up unlocking for both of them.
Yes.
Yeah, in the way that you can equip, like you can kind of choose what your secondary attack, you get like two slots to kind of play around with, and the degree of customization is really cool. Like, that kind of like real deep sort of RPG element to it.
Yeah, which I liked. I got into, you know, like the crafting and shit like that, and the mixing and matching the runes and the talismans and the enchantments.
Yeah,
like I really got into collecting that stuff and using
it. I mean, yeah, it is a bit overwhelming when you start. It's one of those things where you open it up and there's like every menu has like four sub menus to it. Like,
yeah, definitely a lot of the stuff early on of like, oh, you picked up this thing. Well, here's everything about how this works.
Yes, true.
See you later.
True.
Yeah, there are certain things that you pick up where it kind of stops the game and it kind of freezes to show
you. It makes you push the buttons and go through.
Yes, true, yeah.
Yeah,
which maybe had to be done to make all that stuff manageable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how else they would have done it.
Like it's just a little bloated, maybe more so than it needs to be, because I didn't end up really interacting with any of the armor stuff that much.
Right. I don't know that I did in any meaningful way. I just got the best one that I could.
The fact that there are like this six or seven stats or whatever, and I never really thought too hard about which of them.
Yeah, I kind of haven't been. I've just been looking. If they're all going to go, if enough of them are going to go up a little bit, I'm like, all right, I'll get that one then.
Hey,
yeah. A
lot of green there.
Yeah.
Let's go. That's what I say about both video games and any place that has kush, my man.
Fuck yeah.
Dude.
I love to smoke that 420.
Well, I guess I should probably tap out.
I guess
broadly speaking, the acting's fucking sick.
Yeah.
And the further in you go, the better those actors get in that role, because there's a lot of growth in some of those characters.
Yes. There's a bit of a spike in growth as well towards, you know, the last quarter probably.
Yeah. Which I want to talk about a couple of aspects of that as well. So, yeah, maybe hop in your little go-go mobile and fuck off there, Tommy.
All right, bye, guys.
See you later, Tommy.
Now we got to fucking wait for him to leave.
Oh, he's packing up all his shit.
We can't keep talking.
Packing up my laptop. Just make sure I've got everything. That's my phone.
Are you going to walk out with the mic still on?
Yeah. I got my keys. I got my wallet.
Yep.
That's my lappy. I'm leaving my... I'll see you guys on Saturday.
Yeah, okay.
That's right, listeners. We're doing something on Saturday.
Uh-oh.
Bye.
Bandcamp.com/whatever we are.
Now remember to slam the door, Tommy. And he's too weak to. Yes.
There he goes.
Okay, he did it.
All right, now that Tommy's the men are out of the room, we can talk about Thrush. A famous ad campaign in Australia, for anyone confused by that.
Yes. He can probably still hear us.
The bit where Atreus gets all up himself is the only part of this game where I was like, okay.
But that had to happen for the story structure.
It did. I just think it wasn't done well.
Okay.
I think it was very sudden. And so the one
thing...
It was
sudden. I agree with that.
It was super quick. And then when he came out of it, though, he was like, was I really doing that shit? So the one thing that may make me go back and change my opinion on it is if in the second one it turns out like, oh, because he's Loki, he has some fucking shit going on in his brain where he's got split personality.
Right, sure. Or something. Or there was some kind of trigger that, because I don't necessarily think I picked on up on why it happened, but it, I think it was more like he was exposed to more of the world, which Kratos doesn't want to expose him to before he's ready. So it's like it is just him growing up, becoming a god and having that triggered a little bit early.
And it very much makes sense to me that teenage kid finding out he's a god would be a cunt about it.
Absolutely, yes.
It just it felt like it was written for the plot first and then like just not quite done as smoothly as the rest of it.
Yeah, right. Because he gets all arrogant and then he gets sick? Is that how it goes?
No, he gets sick and because he doesn't know he's a god when he gets sick. That's right.
That's why he's getting sick. Yes. Yeah.
And it's like that fucking with his head.
Internal love conflict,
Do you know, I think the thing less than Atreus' behavior was more Kratos, because he's been so quick to slap his son on the fucking head if he gets, you know, an arrow wrong.
Sure,
and then his son's being a real piece of shit and killing the brother and all this shit.
Yeah.
And he doesn't go like, hey, Atreus, fuck up for a second.
Well, I think that's an interesting not contrast, but sort of reflection of Kratos, because Kratos, and I found this interesting as well, still within this game, he's all about killing and being a warrior and combat and strength. Like, he is still all about that. And I think when Atreus is being more aggressive, he is, you know, he's like, you know, slow down, kid. But he's not, you're right, he's not like, stop it.
Because he hates the gods so much for being arrogant pricks.
Yeah.
And then his godson starts acting like an arrogant god prick son.
Yes.
And it seemed strange to me, just that whole sequence, how the dynamic between them, that's exactly what needed to happen for the plot.
Yeah,
I just think it was maybe slightly strangely written and a little bit snappy.
I think that,
literally
maybe
the only part of that story I really had an issue with.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think I also projected some stuff onto that section as well of like, well, this was what Kratos was like, and maybe if he finds it hard to specifically call it out in someone because it's hypocritical, so maybe he's letting it ride and then he's pulling it up as it gets worse. Maybe I just assumed a bit much there.
Yeah, I think I think that's the thing, is that maybe those are explanations that weren't written well enough into it.
Yeah, sure.
That it stuck out a little bit, that these characters would say this.
Right.
But didn't.
Yeah, and I guess like it is a longer game of this type in terms of like a linear narrative.
Yeah.
Maybe they were like, maybe it would have gone for 3 hours usually, but it was an hour.
Sure.
Because they cut it back.
And you know, it's strange that whichever of the dwarves it is, what are they, Brock and
Sindri?
Yeah. That Sindri's like, oh, okay, dickhead.
Yes.
Like, you're being a prick to me now.
Yes.
And then Kratos isn't like, hey, What's up?
See, that's part of it. I feel like Kratos also doesn't respect the dwarves.
It's different, though. It's strange.
Yeah.
Maybe, but not entirely.
Like, that's the thing. The thing is, like, there's obviously a lot of Kratos that is annoyed by the dwarves, especially Sindri, who's the less gruff of them. Like, he's dismissive of them. So I think that's why he doesn't just go like, hey, Atreus, be more nice to the guy. He's like, you don't need to.
And it's less be more nice. It's more like, don't think because you're a god. And he does say this several times.
Yeah.
Because you're a god doesn't mean that you get to do anything. Like, that's a responsibility, Spider-Man.
Yes,
and
sure.
I don't know. By the end of it, they hit all that stuff.
Yes, they do.
Just for that little bit there. By the way, Brock, such a good fucking character.
Yeah.
It made me actually genuinely laugh when he'd be like, hey, I can fix your axe up there for you, you fucking asshole. These unnecessary.
I liked Brock and I liked Sindri as well.
Yeah,
like,
same.
Two different sides of the coin.
And Mimir as well.
Yes. I, as dumb as this is, him being Scottish kind of annoyed me. Because, like, obviously everyone is like, you know, that received British pronunciation thing. But they're all like Norse or whatever. But the fact that they went, also, he's Scottish. It was like, sure.
It is weird whenever they do that. Like, we have to give this guy a different accent, but everyone in space is British for this thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. It just made him into quirky, you know, sidekick, which is, I guess,
What he is. And he pulls it off, I reckon.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So Boulder,
yep,
I did not like until the end as a villain.
Right.
I thought he was too Jack Sparrow when he showed up. He was real like kind of flopping really around was. Being like, oh, well, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Do you know that actor?
No.
So I just see the actor. He was in Lost. He was the physicist in Lost.
Right.
That came in like season 4. He's in a bunch of stuff. He's in Justified. He's a really good actor, Jeremy Davies. And sure. He is acting the way he acts when he overacts.
Right, okay.
Which I just saw him and was like, it's cool this actor is the villain.
Sure. I guess, I just saw Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
With tattoos. Well, with less tattoos, if anything.
Yes. Yeah, with fewer rat tail braids.
Yeah. And so it seemed like just not that impactful look at. But then all the stuff that happens between him and Freya at the end,
sure,
I fucking love.
Legitimizes his, issues.
Yeah, and especially for how it sets up Freya to be in a sequel.
Sure, yes.
Probably two sequels.
Yes, that will be. Yeah.
Now we're talking more like all over the place, I guess.
I guess so, yeah. But I mean, yeah, in terms of that, because like, I think you guys mentioned before, like, it's cool how they treat the gods like bickering idiots. That is how like a lot of the gods were written about in you know, the ancient Greek texts specifically.
Yeah.
A lot of the Greek tragedies.
Norse ones as well are pretty right. Like I think this stays relatively true to how, like, I think Thor was a prick.
Yeah, right.
In those ones. I don't really know. I've not read any ancient Norse texts.
Well, that's I studied, you know, the Greek plays. I don't know if you can study the Norse ones.
I don't know if they have plays as much as stone tablets. I genuinely don't know.
No, neither.
But I know so much about their shit through through the Thor movies and that sort of shit.
Yeah.
And like Skyrim having its own fucking versions of this shit.
Yep.
I love the fact that Thor and Odin get spoken about so much and you don't see it.
Yeah, isn't it great? It's done really well. It's not done in a shitty or annoying way.
They feel like they're characters and they're influencing this world and that they're present.
Yep.
But like, it's not a poochy thing of like, where's Thor?
Yeah.
It feels like, fuck, we're lucky Thor's not here.
Yes. Yeah, totally.
Whenever you're not seeing him.
And it makes the little teaser really impactful and it makes me want to play the sequel. Like, it just does it really well.
Completely. And it mirrors, I saw this pointed out, the first original God of War game, because you just see Ares, no Zeus, no anything.
Right.
And then Zeus is introduced in the second one.
Yep.
And so if it kind of reflects that in this one. I liked the return to Helheim. Is that the one you were talking about with the retreading the same area again?
No, going up the mountain, I think, again.
That was the bit where I was like, eh.
Yeah.
But then in the cave, it's different.
Yes,
inside
it is.
Of the mountain.
Yeah.
But just that little patch up there, I was like, oh.
Where you're at the bottom and all those the contraptions are around and shit.
That is when Atreus is being a cunt.
Yeah, right.
So maybe that had something to do with it.
Right. Yeah. I think it was just the first time through, it was a little tedious.
Yeah.
Or it was a little bit like, I can see that I'm just going to have to run over here and pull this and run back and pull this. And
yeah.
It's not the most creative bit of the game. So that was all. But it turned out to be a lot more streamlined than the first time through.
Totally. Just getting that elevator up that was blocked the first time.
Yeah.
Was good.
Yeah.
That bit from where Tommy's at, like, I think it picks up momentum a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fucking Freya, like, that fight between you and Baldur and Freya at the end is so well done.
Yes.
I think her thing of not really wanting to hurt anybody but just having to get involved with this big fucking dead guy works perfectly.
Yep.
Like, Baldur is such a, like, even though I didn't like him towards the start, he's a very convincing, fuck everyone, I hate the world, I want to beat everybody up.
Yeah, I think as soon as you find out what happened to him, it justifies it.
Totally, it really does put him into context.
Yeah.
And
it also, it's not unrealistic that Freya would do it as well.
No, totally.
It's like, oh yeah, of course, you know, from that point on you'd want to protect, you know, the ones you've got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you've got good intentions being like an overprotective mother or whatever, but you're still a self-entitled god type.
Yes.
Who thinks they can kind of do anything.
And hasn't seen the ramifications on like a personal level for who you're inflicting it on. Yeah.
Like a very selfish decision.
Yeah.
And then that all plays out really well. I love the thing of her just being like, yep, kill me if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
Look, I'm just trying to help.
Yeah, I'm a mother. I'd rather die than see my son get killed. Like,
Kratos
it's
just like, I think he does the classic movie neck snap on
him. Yeah.
Saying like, the cycle ends here, motherfucker.
Yeah.
And then like, I think the idea of, I want to see more of that Vanir, Aesir, and Aesir and whatever. I want to see more of that
right
side of things too. That god fight that we kind of, you hear about a lot of shit.
Yes, because like the gods, like the Thor and stuff, they are the Aesir.
They're the Aesir.
Yeah.
So that's Odin and Thor and Baldur technically.
Yes. Well,
definitely. But
yeah.
And that's that, like, yeah, him going like, hey, this is your kid and I'm going to take him from you. And he's my fucking henchman now. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Is like all the stuff that you hear about Odin does, and people going like, he is actually super smart and manipulative.
Yes.
I really want to see that fight play out in not a punchy way. I want to have him do some fucked up shit, which will obviously be through Atreus or the guy we find out at the end is Loki.
Yeah, which is cool. It's really interesting. Yeah, but
totally justified.
I felt stupid because I knew that Loki had that, you know, parentage, that weird split thing with the giants and the, yeah.
Right, so he's half giant, half god in Norse things.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I didn't know that at all. Well, I guess you don't know that Faye is a giant until the very end as well.
Yes. Yes, that's true.
But it does, like, you kind of hear as the thing goes on more and more, because you assume at first Kratos has found a nice girl, settled down.
Yes.
And you hear more and more of like, oh, that was her axe.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, she was a great fighter. She was the great warrior. Which also, I like that it doesn't end up being like a big flashback where it's her fighting a bunch of people. It's like, you know, cave drawings of her being just this very respected person who, and then it's like this interesting thing with the path already been trodden. Like, did you get all that stuff?
So apparently Norse mythology has a lot of time travel,
right? Yes.
And like dimensional, interdimensional travel, and so the world snake is like a thing of the snake eating its own tail and like time being
right
circle,
the Ouroboros,
and that whole bit where you fucking go inside the snake and then he gets beaten up as well. That was sick.
Yeah
But so yeah, there's something about everything that's happened already has happened and will happen, blah blah blah.
Yeah
And that seems to be the thing Odin wants to break,
right?
Because if that's the case, then he dies, he's killed in Ragnarok, and he doesn't want that, so
right,
fuck that shit.
Which, there's Fimbulwinter has come, and which is that
the pre-Ragnarok thing?
I think it's pre-Ragnarok, yeah. Right.
And then, so the thing is that Thor kills the world snake.
Yes.
And then Thor kills Odin as well?
Maybe,
or
but
Odin
then
is killed. But so then in those paintings, you see Kratos, like, fucking vomiting out the snake.
Yeah, but then also there's speculation that Loki is the father of the snake.
Right.
And that's why the snake recognizes him at one point and can talk to him.
Okay.
So there's some link there.
Because he definitely can hear voices and can speak to animals and shit.
Yes, yeah.
So the way it seems like it's going to go is Odin gets in Loki's head.
Yes.
Goes like, hey, fuck your dad. He's a piece of shit. You're with me now.
Here's what he did. Look at all the people that he killed, the gods that he murdered. You're a god. He likes to kill gods.
Yeah. Loki kind of seemed to have an idea of that's what happened, though. He was like, hey, I get it. Zeus was your dad. You killed him.
Yes.
Hey, some shit has to happen sometimes.
Yeah, but I think if you really do lay out everything that Kratos did, you could use that to manipulate him.
And in this series of games, at least, he destroyed Greece. By the end of it, like Greece as a fucking quarter of the world, it seems like. Because all the Tyr stuff traveling between, which I fucking loved as well.
Yeah.
Tyr having gone to all these places and it being like, yep, so there's the Aztec ones over here, there's the Egyptian ones, maybe some like Asian, Eastern kind of things.
Yep.
I would love to see all of that stuff play out somehow.
Yeah, all the Tyr stuff was really good. Because you don't, like, Tyr, it's, he is a narrative device and a symbol and just a little guide, and it allows you to go to these fucking awesome different areas.
And totally another person who, though they're never on screen, feels like a character and feels like a fully, you do feel like you've come to this story towards the end.
Yes.
And like you're in this kind of post-apocalyptic area of whatever Norse land is called.
Yeah.
Because you don't see anyone around and you get the impression that it used to be inhabited.
Yeah, I guess so.
You go to a number of castles and shit that are torn down.
Yeah.
So all the people have fucked off somewhere else because of this impending doom, it felt
I felt like it was more, I guess in the Greece set games, there are people everywhere.
Yeah. There are proper cities with like people going, oh no.
Yeah. I think I assumed that this more existed in a mythical dimension, kind of.
Right.
Because it's called Midgard, which I think is the word for Earth, but it's also, it feels more like a separate mythical thing.
Right.
But it's hard to tell because
you get those like bandits early on who attack you. So there are humans around here.
Yeah, that's right.
And it seemed like, I think they call them Reavers, and I think they were just like looting the place.
Yeah.
They were stuck there, it seemed like, as well, because they were like, we haven't eaten meat in days.
Yeah, fuck, that's right.
So I think this place has been kind of abandoned pending Ragnarok.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
And I would like to see where those people and what like the general kind of people who lived here are like are thinking about this as well.
I also do like that it's more operatic to just have the main players.
Yeah.
And it worked. I didn't really think about the civilians throughout the whole game.
And then you've got these mines and shit. Like it's no longer functioning civilization.
Yeah.
Because everyone's left.
Yeah, true. Yes.
Which I would like to travel to wherever they are.
Right.
And fucking accidentally be responsible for their village being burned down or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that, to fighting Thor and Odin and whoever else they bring along.
Yeah. It's nice that it feels like it's going to be a single player game, a single player game, a single player game, not DLC or any weird stuff like that.
They've very definitively said no season pass for this.
Yeah.
This is the game that we've released.
Yep.
Apart from the 94 patches since the
first
day.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does feel like they kind of know where they're going with it, and I'm super stoked to see it because, yeah, all that stuff of showing like, well, all these giants are dead, your mum's dead for sure, but she wanted you to know that you were Loki.
Yes.
We're like, it's a very good, complete story on its own and then a very good stage set for these other ones.
Yeah, agreed. Totally agreed.
Which... Do you reckon it'll be another 5 years before the set? I hope it's two.
What were the Uncharted games like? Because it feels like the same amount of effort.
Between 3 and 4, it was 6 years.
Yeah, right.
But once you got the first one, you can probably work up to the second a little more easily.
Yep.
Between the first set of God of War games, it was like 2 or 3 years in between each.
Yeah, right.
So
I don't know. It feels like it's a more ambitious thing to do.
Yeah.
But that also assumes it'll be all brand new. So not even the same locations, the same assets.
Well, because we don't go... There's like 5 of the realms or something that you just don't visit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Three or four maybe, yeah.
Because
you
go to... There's Midgard is the one you start in.
Yeah, Alfheim.
Alfheim, Helheim, Jotunheim.
Yep.
And then there's 2 optional ones.
Niflheim. And
Mordenheim or something like that. The
fire one.
Yeah. I think it's Mordenheim.
Could be. It starts with an M. That's for damn sure.
Marpleheim.
Mordor. It's Mordor.
Mordor. Yeah, so there'd be another 3 that you haven't gone to.
Right, yeah.
Which is like Asgard, where the gods live, and 2 other fucking ones.
Yeah, that's right.
But I'm looking forward to tearing them apart. And I really, I hope, I would be into seeing Kratos just fall back into old.
I reckon he will at some point, right?
Okay, I got to kill the gods.
Yeah.
Like maybe in the next one they corrupt his kid and kill him or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or you ultimately end up having to kill your kid. Or there's like Kratos and Loki aren't staying father and son pals.
I could see the climax of the sequel being he, out of a desire to protect Loki or someone.
Yeah.
Go fucking buck wild and kill a lot of people, and then that makes Loki hate him more, and that's the third game is resolving that conflict.
Sure.
Yeah. Fuck, that'd be cool.
I kind of don't see where it goes, though, necessarily, which is a great... To have it so well set up for more to happen and to not know what it is is cool.
Yeah, and let's not read any Norse mythology, I guess, because we might find out.
Yeah, I guess as well, like, yeah, all their shit is pretty... I think they're following it all quite closely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but it ends with the end of the world.
Yes.
So whatever leads up to that, I guess whatever happens, because I really did like the father-son story in this.
Yes, agreed.
It totally works and it builds, every character develops.
I was worried at the start that it was going to be really annoying, and it was annoying to an extent. It was more shallow, was because we didn't know the characters, and right. also they hadn't experienced anything to make them grow.
Sure.
So the fact that they actually grew over the course of this story,
yeah.
in a video game, like it's very impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good game. 6 out of 10.
I reckon that just about does it for God of War spoilers. Thank you for listening to Filthy Casuals once again, if you're still with us. What are we doing next week? No idea.
No.
Fucking all right.
We didn't say it at the end of the regular episode, so I guess we can't do anything, which I guess means I don't have to do the sign-off thing this time.
Oh! Well, as we say at the end here of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
Sucked in, motherfuckers.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.